Christ with His Church. Now, as we ended our meditation last week's lesson with the certainty that Jesus would never leave us, in this week's lesson we shall concentrate on this most thrilling thought. Christ with His Church. Part number one. What is His Church? As you know, the word church comes from the old word meaning a circle. Cirque in French today. Kirk or kyrka in Scots or Norwegian or Swedish. It's the circle of the elect. In the center of the circle is Jesus Christ. And the nearer we come to Jesus Christ, the closer we form this bond. The Greek word is ekklesia. Ek and kaleo, the called out ones. In Latin, it's the congregation. Cong is together and grex is a flock. A congregation is a flock that presses close together. Another interesting word is in Greek, synagogue. Syn is together and ago is I drive. The shepherd is driving his flock together to form a circle of which he is the center. The function of the church is to represent Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount says, "Ye are the light of the world." And Christ added that when the candle of the soul is ignited by the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, then the candle must be placed on the candlestick. And the last verse of Revelation 1, the candlestick is the church and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So the place of every illuminated candle, believer, is in the church, so that the cumulative light will be spread much farther. The people of God meet together for mutual help and comfort. They should live in those who live in a definite area should form a group. They should not forsake the assembling of themselves together. And they are the sharers of the grace of God and the knowledge of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They are also called the house of God, the building of God, the garden of God. There are many beautiful words that are used to describe the church. Part number two, God's ideal for the church. Our opening verse is a very pleasant verse because in the context, the church is spoken of as the bride. And the bride at her marriage comes into the closest intimate relationship with her bridegroom, which for the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ wants the church on that day to be immaculate. So he will wash it with the water by the word. Now, how does the word wash? As we allow the ideas and the idealism and the sense and the beauty of the message of the scriptures constantly to pass through our minds, as they pass, they will cleanse. Just as water passing through a soiled garment carries away the dirt, so the word passing through our thinking will carry away the defilement and will present us clean and regenerate. The word washing, which you will see in your note is lutron, is the Old Testament Greek word for the laver. And what the laver was to do in the sanctuary, the word is to do now. And this cleansing process will continue until God's people are ready for the judgment, the close of probation, and the end of the intercession of Jesus Christ. You will note that statement of Ellen White in Great Controversy, that the time will come when God's people are to stand without a mediator. The reason is that the mediator has finished his work. When we get to that time, we have nothing to worry about. He has told us, he that is righteous will be righteous still, and he which is holy will be holy still. We've got nothing to fear. He has given us our certification into the kingdom of God. So let us rejoice that the time will come when our mediator will finish the work, and he sees that by his grace we are adequate to face whatever eventuality the devil can fling in our pathway. Part number 3. Love and tender consideration by Christ for his church. Jesus declared, "I have graven you." Now, graving or engraving is incising into a piece of wood or into a piece of metal or into a piece of marble or stone some picture or some message. When the nails were plunged into the palms of Christ, our names were written there. We are engraved in the palms of his hands. Then he says, "Thy walls are continually before me." A wall is for protection. In Isaiah 5, he builds a hedge or a wall around his vineyard. There are those who have breached the wall, but the remnant church in Isaiah 58 are to restore, they are to build again the waste places. And the law of God, the law is the wall that encloses us and keeps Satan out. So when he talks about the walls, they are the legal enactments that are the protection of God's people in the last days. Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. He has died on our behalf. And the protecting law by his grace is built around us, through us, so that we will not be sinners any longer. Not only is the church recorded on the palms of his hands, not only is the church firmly protected by impenetrable walls, but the church is the jewel casket. The church is the sheepfold. The church is the bride. The church is the garden. Jesus Christ is the gardener. Jesus Christ is the lapidary. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Jesus Christ is all and through all. And these wonderful figures of speech give to us his estimate as to the church. Now the church today is despised, it's ridiculed. From within it is torn down by dissenters, it is criticized. But with all its failures, the church is the object of Christ's supreme regard. Part number 4, Christ with his church militant. Militant, military, army, warfare. The church is on the warpath. Jesus Christ has all power. Jesus Christ is the captain of the host. He is the leader of God's people. To Joshua he appeared as the captain of the hosts of God, and we see him in Revelation 19 riding on a war horse, ready to go to battle. In all her conflicts, Jesus Christ leads the van. He is ahead. He is directing the warfare. He has provided the armory. From the helmet to the sandals, to the sword, to the breastplate, he is all and in all. Now what will be the outcome of the church's warfare against the flesh and the devil? Part number 5. The church is triumphant. Jesus Christ will be there in that final triumph. In Zechariah 10:3, he says, "I have likened my people to a horse, a goodly horse in the battle." And the Revelator sees a white horse, perfect in purity, shining in righteousness. In Revelation 19, as I have just mentioned, the Revelator also sees a white horse, and Jesus Christ is riding that horse, conquering and to conquer. So his flock is also a goodly horse. The timid sheep is the charger in the conflict, made strong by the hand of the mighty God of Israel. In Revelation 7, God's people are robed in white. They are armed with palms of victory. They are terrible as an army with banners. The church militant is the church triumphant. The victory is guaranteed so long as we are following Christ, the captain of our salvation. Part number 6. Christ is the head and Christ is the foundation. Paul here introduces two figures of speech. The head of the body is part and parcel, indivisible, with an organism. It's not an organization of separate parts, it's an organism of united, inseparable parts. You cannot chop the head from the body and have either the head function perfectly or the body. One is necessary to the other. So in the picture that is presented of the church, Jesus Christ is the head. His people constitute the body. The body registers every twinge of pain, every blow, every insult, every injury. Christ feels, suffers, as well as directs and leads and guides and speaks to his church. The foundation is the basal structure of every edifice. The church is the temple. Jesus Christ is the foundation. The foundation is immovable, unchangeable, the solid rock, the rejected stone. And Peter says, we all, as living stones, must come willingly and allow ourselves to be built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now the cornerstone is the topmost of the arch. So Jesus Christ is the foundation, Jesus Christ is the capstone. He is the author, he is the finisher of our faith. So when Christ is with his church, it is forever. He never leaves it. He continually makes it adequate. He supports it through all circumstances. And in the final settlement, Jesus Christ is there with his people to hear their songs of triumph and to accept their eternal gratitude.